Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Take up a few thoughts about grace with the Lord granting help. Familiar words in, actually I want chapter 8, I'm sorry, and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, yet ye through his poverty might be rich. We'll think of that with the thought, grace revealed. 1 Timothy chapter 1 for a second reading. The writer is Paul the Apostle, and he mentions in verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So grace that reaches. We'll come back to these all. Turn forward now to Titus chapter 2. Break in at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I like to think that it's available to all men, teaching us. Now, Paul is writing to another son in the faith, his own son in the faith, Titus, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So grace that is teaching as we think of the Lord's purpose and so on. Now back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. The writer again is the Apostle Paul, as we all know. Excuse me. He speaks about the things in verse 6 and 7 that God has abundantly blessed him, and yet there's a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan, verse 7, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So grace that draws near in the need to accept the condition, and he says, it's made perfect, it's sufficient for thee. So the last one would be, in my mind, would be Ephesians chapter 2. Grace is sufficient. This time it's Paul looking to the forward. The unending age is coming. We'll look at verse 7, Ephesians 2:7. that in the ages to come, the rapture will take place, the tribulation, the millennium, the unending ages coming, the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Wonderful what God is going to display in a future day unending. Those words of Paul in chapter 8 and 9 of 1 Corinthians, a chapter explaining the blessing of enjoying the fellowship of the Lord's people and sharing in the work as far as God is concerned, and yet he, when speaking about giving, he writes of the greatest giver of all, the Lord himself. Though he was rich, which would take us back to, as we thought this morning, God always existed, the Son co-equal, co-eternal with him there in the heavens. And thus, to manifest the riches of his grace in this world, our Lord Jesus came down to this earthly scene. When you think of the contrast from the ivory palaces to appear in this world there in lonely Nazareth, and yet the eye of God was upon him. And that one who came that he might make his way to Calvary. And so he, though he became poor, he veiled his glory. As often mentioned and already in the conference, he never ceased to be what he always was, but now as a man manifest in flesh, making his way to the cross, that we through his poverty might be rich. So it's not the earthly riches, they're only temporal. They're needful in the measure we use them, and especially giving, rendering to the Lord his portion. But thinking of the fact that positionally, we have been brought into riches unfolding and be so marvelously blessed of knowing God in the person of his Son. It cost him the sacrifice of the cross and meant the tremendous suffering and shame. And yet he was the one victorious we were thinking of. He's living alive today, touched with the feelings of our infirmities and so on. But that was the revealing that he might in this particular age, the day of grace is termed. And as Mr. Portman mentioned, that the word grace, the day of grace, isn't found, but we're certainly enjoying grace as children of God. So as you think of Paul the Apostle, though he was a very self-righteous Jew of the tribe of Benjamin, and there he was thinking that what he was doing was right, he says there, what I did ignorantly in unbelief, he discovered his need of Christ. What a remarkable conversion. He was mentioned in the beginning of the conference in the ministry, the change in his life. Not wanting anything to do with Christ, seeking to harm the Christians that professed faith in the Lord, and so on. But God brought him down to the dust of the earth. And as reminded yesterday, who art thou, Lord? That statement, I am Jesus. Linked now with the one from the glory whom he opposed, acknowledging, Lord, what shall thou have me to do? What a change of attitude. What a change. And so he says this, what I done ignorantly in unbelief, now God has been showing the abundant grace to him as we consider taken out of the hypocrisy of self-righteousness to acknowledge the wonders of grace to be saved. More than that, to be sure of heaven. People, you know, make light of it, say, well, impossible. We don't need to argue. I often think of others that were testimonies of me. I realized they had a joy that I didn't have. They had a peace that I didn't know, and that assurance. So he says it's a faithful saying. It's not a gospel effort right now, but nevertheless it's still true as we think of his availability. And so he says that there in those words, that the Lord might pick him up to be useful for him. And thus, Paul becomes the fact that he's been received into divine favor with God and spend a life now that we owe so much. I've made the comment, but I don't really have verses to sustain it, but he was shut up in prison, but in those prisons, he wrote a good deal of these prison epistles. How valuable! Not only to encourage, but to instruct and to preserve the testimony God was using him. And it's marvelous when you think of now 2019, and God and heaven only knows how many companies, small or large, sat down in remembrance and maybe doing it yet some parts of the world with a loaf of bread and a cup of wine, honoring him. This do in remembrance of me. His death brought so much glory to God, and we worship one that's not only has died in our behalf, but is living exalted in the throne, and we can enjoy the fact that we gathered in his name to give him his rightful place. We were in Manchester just lately. One of the brethren took up in the ministry at the conference, how do you recognize an assembly of God's people? I didn't get up and repeat it. But in 1952, meetings were held in the neighborhood where I grew up at Independence, Iowa, and a young couple was reached in their early 30s, we call them young, and one of the daughters in salvation. Because of influence by some of the Manchester believers, they started to drive the 30 miles or so, and they witnessed the Lord's Supper, I think possibly two or three Sundays over there in the older hall at Manchester. And so the following Sunday, as we were coming into Independence, here we see this couple. They'd both professed to be saved and been baptized, stopping there right next to the building that they used to attend services. Well, we let out a little sigh, my parents and I. Lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, they were telling us, after witnessing the Lord's Supper by the believers there in Manchester, that Sunday morning going back to that older establishment they linked with, Communion Day, he says, someone had donated money to buy a new communion table where they'd set the emblems. They spent about 15 minutes in eulogy about this gentleman. And then they had a little dedication to the table and so on. And he says, it's about, I don't know if I can just quote, you know, this is 50, 60 years ago, but they spent talking about the Lord maybe only the last 10 or 15 minutes. So they came to us and said, we're going back to Manchester. You know, it was the Lord wasn't exalted and honored. It was all of self and men for the most part. Now, we're thankful for everyone saved, no matter where they may be. But the excellent way is that what Paul is being shown here, there's one that we can honor. And you think of all the places across the world known to God in heaven only. But from every place where praise ascended to heaven, he was bringing glory to the man you and I love and appreciate. And so we can be thankful for local assemblies. And as the prayer, I trust, of all of us, personally to be preserved, testimonies to be preserved in a world of indifference and satanic influence and darkness, and to deal with the flesh and all as we think of it. So now we come to Titus. Here's another son in the faith, as we've mentioned. And he writes these words. Verse 14, which we read there. verse 13. After the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, the things that are ungodlike And the lusts are desires that have wrong priority for us in life. Laying those things aside as measures we can, we should live soberly. Now, I don't think that means going around with a long face and dejected. Seeing a couple of brethren here, some stout, it reminds me one time some visitors came into gospel meetings and they were telling us they didn't know who had to go back there. So many long faces, even the people. Well, I says, do you stop to realize what's going on? There's young people there troubled about their souls. And parents and loved ones are concerned about them. And so there was an issue in their minds. And I hope it left a little impression on them in a rightful way eventually. But here we bear a testimony. And I think of a dear sister now gone many years. No matter what took place in that family with trials, she always seemed to have a smile. To patiently accept what had happened and to seek the Lord. So he's saying soberly, that would be in personal affairs. Righteously, our dealings with our fellow men. We make a promise or something as to payment or whatever, to do it on time or whatever the means. As we think of it, we bear a testimony. It not only reflects personally, it reflects on our fellow brethren and sisters. It reflects on the name and honor of the Lord Jesus. And we're here to not only please him, but to seek to honor and the privilege to give glory to his name. And then he says, in this present world, righteously and godly, bringing God into the circumstances. In this present world, you know the scriptures are always up to date. This was written in the first century of Christian testimony. Here we are in 2019. But I'm thankful today for every company of saints that's represented here and further afield. I know nothing of Ireland. I had relation back and ancestors, but be as it may, we're glad because as some who have through Irish people, we were brought to hear the gospel. But the Scotch can appreciate it too, so whatever. So as we think of it, looking, as he says, for that blessed hope. So the Lord's Supper always reminds us, till he come. Faith will give way to sight. And when that takes place, we'll be looking on him. You sometimes wonder, I've only witnessed two individuals that took their last breath in life and departed. And one of them, a father-in-law at that time, one eye came open. I just wondered what he saw. I don't know. But you don't know what it is to, and it's yet to our experience, to see him. But it's not just for moments. It's the ages to come. So he's occupied, the one who gave himself for as to redeem us from all iniquity and so on. We're noticing when we came back there to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, here's Paul with a trial. You know, he was very practical. And it was something the late Mr. Stewart, I heard him say once at a Heightsville conference, he was thankful the Lord didn't tell us what the thorn was, because we all maybe have some thorn in the flesh. Whatever it was, he definitely asked God three times to remove the thorn. What was the answer? He didn't remove the thorn. My grace is sufficient for thee. That would teach us a thought. Whatever the Lord allows. A brother said that to me at this conference. There's something in all this for God's glory. You know, that's an attitude that honors the Lord in it. He didn't remove the thorn, but he gave him the grace to bear it. And thus, you and I can take encouragement, because there's always going to be the trials of life. We've all no doubt read those words, the last verse of John 16. The Lord is about to leave the disciples as to the cross work and so on. I'm going to be leaving. And his body would be laying in the grave, but he'd rise again. But he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're on the winning side of all that's going on in this world, which we've been reminded this afternoon already. Thank God we're linked with the one that's in control. What he allows, it'll all be brought. The day is coming when God will set things right. Christ will have his rightful place to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when he spoke of those words to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, Paul took granted that the Lord was with him. So we can be of some cheer. And that's what God would have us, because we never know who's watching, looking on. And you never know who might be attracted to Christ. You know, there's joy when you see someone and you've had a little part in bringing the gospel and even perhaps showing some of the word of God, the truth of the gospel, and they get saved. And you think, well, another one added. He's soon to come. And when that moment comes, the church will all be brought together from all the kindreds and places in this world. And to think, you know, we enjoy good singing, but my, what's it going to be up there? And we all just always, Mr. Maxwell made a statement years ago at Heightsville, we'll never be bored in heaven. The Lord is going to keep us occupied fully. So I trust as we think of these few remarks, and yet there's a day coming when he's going to display the riches of his grace. We're all going to be sharing in that. God is going to be glorified. Christ will be glorified and honored as we consider how wonderful that he reached out to you and me. Someone mentioned how wonderful the kindness of God. We might have missed it. We could be in the place of torment. What mercy and what good and kindness. But when we think of the grace of God, no matter where we might come from this part of the world or other parts, be brought into relationship. And the theme will be to honor and to praise him. And the delight will never be disappointed. So I trust a few remarks. Perhaps the brother's got a few words to add before the gospel. Till he come, occupy till he come, and we'll be pleased when we think of that day, lay at his feet and give him his rightful glories, what he's due. We're just impartial now. The Lord bless his word for his name's sake.